From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. The Owyhee Canyon Lands is a large chunk of high desert land in Idaho, Oregon, and Nevada, and it covers more than 7 million acres. It's home to plants and animals, some of which cannot be found anywhere else. And it really is a playground for many who recreate along the rocks and the sagebrush. And for some Native Americans, it is sacred land. And attempts to help protect some or all of that area have failed. And those who love the land are worried about threats from wildfires, invasive species, and development, which includes mining. So there has been a growing call for President Joe Biden to protect part of the canyon lands under the Antiquities Act. Reporter Wyatt Meisco, a Mountain West correspondent with Inside Climate News, wrote about how we got to this point, and he's joining us now with more. And Wyatt, I said your last name wrong. It's Meisco. So welcome. I apologize.
Thank you. No worries. Thanks for having me.
So Wyatt, for folks who don't know, can you give us a general idea of the area that we're talking about? Where exactly are the Owyhee Canyon lands?
So for Boise listeners, it's about 50 miles kind of east of the city is where it begins. And it's, as you mentioned, 7 million acres of high desert landscape that stretches across, you know, Oregon, Idaho, and Nevada. It's kind of just classic sagebrush landscapes, but you combine it with really interesting canyon land. These look very reminiscent of southern Utah and places like the Grand Canyon and Arches National Monument and like places like that. And it's a really interesting blend of landscapes.
So when we're talking about the types of threats to the canyon lands, can we talk a little bit about, let's start with things like cheatgrass and other invasive weeds. How is that a threat?
Yeah, so cheatgrass is, you know, you enter the landscape of the Owyhee Canyon lands and it looks pretty untouched. There's no real developments, but there's kind of signs that invasive species are beginning to take over. You drive in and you see these like red, purplish grasses, and those aren't native species. Those are invasive species like cheatgrass. And these are, you know, non-native species that have come in from a variety of different activities and kind of invaded the landscape. And kind of the big problem with cheatgrass and other invasive species in the area is that they fuel wildfires.
Okay, so you said they can increase wildfires, right? So that is another threat.
Yeah, and so they fuel these wildfires, and these wildfires then burn hotter and longer than they and bigger than they used to. And these, you know, sagebrush and these other native species, they're not used to these big hot wildfires. And so they don't do very well with them, obviously. They burn up. And then the real problem with those invasive species is not only do they fuel those wildfires, but wildfires in turn fuel them. So they then grow and they take over what would have been native vegetation. And they fill out the landscape and you kind of get these high desert landscapes filled with sagebrush and such changing into kind of grasslands. And that obviously has a ton of impacts on the native species that rely on those plants, such as the sage grouse, Proghorn, mule deer, a variety of different species.
And then the other threat we're looking at, and this is mining, which some would say are a threat. And there's a couple of mines in this area now, correct?
Yeah, on the southern end of the Owyhee Canyon lands is an area that's filled with lithium. And lithium is very important for the clean energy transition. It's used for, you know, to power electric vehicles. It's used to make batteries to store energy from like solar and wind farms. Mm-hmm. And so there's some big mining operations being proposed and some being built already kind of in the southern end of the Owyhee Canyonlands. There's also some uranium activity, uranium obviously being used for nuclear power plants. And then also gold and silver is found throughout the region.
So I mentioned the Antiquities Act. And can you talk a little bit about this and the idea behind President Biden using that act to make the area a national monument?
Yeah, so the Antiquities Act was passed in 1906 by President Theodore Roosevelt. And what it does essentially is allows presidents to conserve important places and landscapes without congressional approval. And so since 1906, 163 national monuments have been designated by 17 different presidents. Only three haven't used the act to designate new national monuments. And for decades, groups have been trying to protect the Owyhee Canyon lands, but oftentimes they've failed. There's currently legislation in the Senate trying to protect about 1 million acres of the Owyhee Canyonlands as wilderness areas, essentially saying, hey, this is land that should be saved for conservation and not used for any other developments, because most of the Owyhee Canyonlands is federal land managed by the Bureau of Land Management. And what some groups are proposing is it seems unlikely that this legislation in the Senate is going to be signed into law. And so, in turn, they're going to President Biden, asking him to use his powers as president to protect essentially the same landscape that this bill is proposing from mining, from solar development, from other uses, and allowing it to become a national monument where it'll get a little bit of resources to deal with some of the invasive grasses that are coming in, deal with those wildfires, and help conserve the most intact land left in the Canyonlands, while also, saving it for people's enjoyment.
So, if he were to pass this, this would not cover the entire 7 million acres of Canyonlands, though.
No, it would not. It would cover just a little over 1 million acres of land as what they're currently proposing. Obviously, the final number will depend on what the president designates, if he does end up designating it as a national monument. The leaders behind this push have been really adamant that they are not trying to just block off this whole area from development. They want to protect the most pristine portions of it from various developments, keep those landscapes intact, and allow developments like the mining or solar or transmission lines or whatever it might be to go to other places that are a little less important, essentially a little less critical for different species.
So I read your article and I thought what was very interesting about it is this approach to use the Antiquities Act versus an act of Congress, and the reasonings behind that approach. Can you talk a little bit about that? And the fact that the supporters of this just believe they would not be able to get a bill passed in Congress to protect this area.
Yeah, conservation opportunities have kind of increasingly become polarized as Congress has become polarized over the past couple of decades. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, when we designate these conservation areas, whether it's a national monument or a national park, you're usually taking federal land. And federal land has, it has mandates from Congress to essentially be used for a variety of different things. Each parcel of land has a different use, and it's up to the federal government essentially to decide, what's the best use of that land. So when you make a national monument or a national park or any kind of congressional designation to conserve land, it means other things can't happen, like a mine, or you can no longer graze cattle on that land, or you can't, frack for oil or things like that, various development purposes where we, extract resources. And so increasingly Congress has become less and less inclined to conserve land. It's just become a no longer a bipartisan issue. And that has in turn led to presidents to be kind of the main way of conserving land over the past couple of decades. And that's become increasingly common over the past decade with President Obama and President Biden both designating quite a few national monuments by using the Antiquities Act.
So you mentioned certain protections that would come with a national monument designation if this happened in the Canyonlands, and you mentioned, maybe no longer having grazing, maybe no longer having access to certain types of mining. Are there any other things that would help with the threats that the Canyonlands face if they got this designation?
One thing I'll note, just I'll get at that, but the supporters of this have been very adamant that grazing will continue if this is designated as a national monument. That's just in some other cases, but getting the support of ranchers has been really vital to this movement and kind of key to that. And they've been adamant, no more mining. And it's not necessarily no more mining; it'd just be no more further mining claims.
No additional
So
mining.
mines, yeah, no additional mining. If you've already staked your claim and are planning a mine in the area, you can still do so. But some other stuff, I mean. One thing, advocates of this have told me is that the average person wouldn't notice this becoming a national monument because the idea is to keep the place as it is, right? And so these landscapes that people recreate in, they go hiking in, they go swimming in, various activities like that, you'll still be able to do those. What this really does is, obviously maybe there'd be a National Monument Visitor Center managed by the National Park Service. There'd maybe be some more signage. And most importantly, there'd be more resources, maybe a bit more funding to go to, removing some of those invasive grass species, helping the animals that rely on this landscape. Stuff like that would be really key here in protecting it from further activities that might impact those landscapes, whether it's, driving your off-road vehicle on undesignated roads, or making a new mine in the area.
Well, and so can you talk about how often presidents have used this Antiquities Act? If I remember correctly, President Obama, when he was in office, didn't he make, I think it was the Bears Ears National Monument, he did something with the Grand Staircase, but then when President Trump came in, he scaled those monuments back. So even when presidents are using this, it seems that there's still maybe some push and pull. But how often is this used then to try to get these designations in place?
It's used pretty often. As you mentioned, Barack Obama, he designated 29 new national monuments. Joe Biden designated 5 so far. But these things, they're not necessarily, not everyone agrees to them, right? People have various opinions and some don't like them. And as you mentioned, Trump did roll back the Bears Ears protections, but Biden has went ahead and restored those. Obviously, if a different president is in the White House next year and the Waihi Canyon Lands is created as a new national monument at the end of that term and someone else takes office, they could maybe try and roll that back. It's a complicated, messy process if that happens. Supporters of the Waihi Canyon Land proposal feel that this is a not so controversial project. They're not conserving all 7 million acres as we've gone over. It's only just a little over 1 million acres. They will still be flexible grazing patterns for ranchers, and just obviously the other 6 million acres of the watershed will remain available for other uses, so they feel confident that it will not face that scrutiny, but obviously only time will tell.
Well, and my understanding is that the folks who are behind this and this grassroots effort really want this to happen soon in case Biden does lose the election come November. So my question for you is this: do we know at all how likely it is that President Biden would make this designation by November?
The Biden administration hasn't publicly signaled anything over this proposal. They have this year already expanded two national monuments, and it seems to me that it's likely more will come. There's 9 current proposals for 9 new national monuments across the country. It wouldn't surprise me if a handful of those become national monuments kind of towards the end of this year, maybe after the election, but nothing set in stone has been set yet.
All right, Wyatt, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with us about this. Appreciate all of the information.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with reporter Wyatt Meiskow. He is Mountain West correspondent with Inside Climate News, talking about his story on President Biden possibly creating a national monument in a part of the Owyhee Canyonlands. We will, of course, put a link to his story on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.